Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. I'll get it out here.
Where are we?
We are going to go a little bit out of order here. I'm going to open up a work session for possible bill introduction. Paul.
Madam Chair, you have, what we've been doing is collecting LC drafts and scheduling a work session for bill introductions on about a weekly basis. So this is a collection of unrelated drafts that we have for you, some of which we've just received today. The first one on my list is LC 1841, which is relating to system development charges. It expands the list of capital improvements which local governments can assess system development charges. The next one is LC 21, and this is LC 2163, which is relating to retroactivity laws applied by Department of Revenue. And this one has a long list of, at the request of organizations. The next one is LC 2661, and this grew out of a committee discussion regarding the Education Stability Fund and the Oregon Growth Account. And what this concept does is suspend the 10% diversion from the Stability Fund to the Oregon Growth Account for a two-year period beginning July 1, 2009. The next one is LC 2714, and this relating to property taxation of electronic transmission lines. It has to do with the intertie, which was the committee issue, I think, in 05, and so it amends that that part of the statute, LC 2714.
Okay, and committee, there's a last bill, LC 1319, in your stack that was put here by mistake. That is actually going to be a sponsored bill, so if you could just put that aside. And having put that aside, Senator Morris, do you have a motion?
I do, Madam Chair. I move LC 1841, dated 12-15-08, LC 2163, dated 1-29-09, LC 2661, dated 2-2-09, and LC 2714, dated 2-9-09, be introduced as committee bills.
Senator Morris has moved the aforementioned bills be introduced as committee bills. Just to note, the LC 2163 is at the request of the Oregon Bankers Association, the Oregon Business Association, the Portland Business Alliance, Associated Oregon Industries, Technology Association of America, Smart Growth Coalition, Motion Picture Association of America, and Oregon Financial Services Association. And again, committee members remind you that introduction of these bills does not indicate support or opposition. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Okay, now we have a, Chair can find her agenda, we have a public hearing, open a public hearing on, do you want to do these together or is this separate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Senate Bill 62, Dr. Warner.
I'm Chair, that's Mazin's bill.
This doesn't have anything to do with vice, so what do you have to say for yourself, Mazin?
Madam Chair, this is when you get in trouble and you need to borrow money.
I see. Okay. Well, I knew you'd have a quick answer.
This very thin and tiny bill, Madam Chair, has to deal with several statutes, and basically they're the financial management statutes by the state treasurer. And it does a few things. Let me quickly try to go through with them. The statutes, those starting from 293.701 on to 293.820, all taken in one big way of looking at the financial management and investment statutes. And they start with defining a number of funds. All these funds are taken out of the definition at the beginning. And there's probably very good reason for the completion on the inclusive of the other funds that are not included here for the deletion of those. The main issue that you would find here is the establishment of a new fund in the, this is in the page 2, section 3 and 4. This is the establishment of the short-term fund. The short-term fund, why is it established, what gets into it, which amounts of money, and so on. And then this whole bill goes through a whole different ways of including which funds, and then for how to invest and how to charge. In section 15 of the bill, this is on page 6, it makes the investment reports that are, or changes it from general language of what reports they are to GAAP based reports. And then also in chapter 9, section 23, changes the way that the state treasurer charges for services, basically the fees, takes it away from percentages into a reasonable fee, not necessarily defined by how much. I suspect that will time. The state treasurer would ask for it to be defined by rule, since it is not reasonable. Fee is the only definition here, and it repeats in several places. Then the statutes go on to redefine or add into the definition number of the funds that are defined in other statutes, and take those and add the vehicle of the new fund, the short term, and the ways that those funds to be invested. This you would find it from section 33, page 16 on. And all of these are now also allowed to explicitly be invested through certain processes and keeping their own interest income. The final couple things, Madam Chair, members of the committee, is the way that turns responsibility for the property deferment, property tax deferment payments and process from the state treasurer to the Department of Revenue and DES, and also explicitly talk about the investment in the highway fund, and finally in the in the last page of the bill, you have also the lottery fund to be allowed for investment, and then repealing several statutes. Those statutes that are being repealed, I've included them in your packet, so you would have it in front of you of what kind of statutes we're repealing with the processes that we have in this bill. Those are about five sections or five subsections of the 293. And finally, it puts the different implementation dates and implementation procedures for the different statutes. Now, I understand, Madam Chair, from the State Treasurer's Office that several amendments to the bill are in the process. So, therefore, this is not the final way the bill is, and as thin as and petite this bill is, it might be even bigger with time.
Well, we can hardly wait for that, can't we?
Yes.
Okay. Darren Bond? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Darren Bond, the Director of Finance for the Oregon State Treasury. With me is Cynthia Burns, my counsel. It's this thick because of her, so we can blame her, and she's here to speak to that if you have questions that I can't answer. Senate Bill 62 is primarily the Treasurer's housekeeping bill. It is a little bigger and a little more robust this time because of the changes we're making in the investment statutes, have lots of conforming statutes. So most of the bulk of the bill you'll find is conforming statutes to the changes we're making in Sections 1, 3, and 4. The primary substance of the bill, is, as Mazin indicated, is a partial rewrite of the investment statutes, mostly dealing with the elimination of the list of investment funds, which isn't inclusive. We're making some a minor change, we believe, to the fee language to make it more sensible. We're also clarifying the Treasurer's role as the cash management officer, and specifically as that relates to banking and electronic commerce. We're making a small change to ORS 295 that deals with the public funds collateralization statutes, and that's the piece where we'll be coming back with a number of amendments. We're trying, it's a brand new program, basically. We just had a significant rewrite last session, and we've now been able to operate it for several months. We've identified deficiencies in the program. We're going to try to fix those. Also, as you're well aware, it's a time of certain stress in the banking community, and we're working with the Oregon Bankers Association and the Department of Consumer and Business Services, our bank regulators, to try to tighten the law up and make sure that we're doing the best we can in protecting public funds. We meet tomorrow, we meet next week, and I believe by the end of the month we should be able to be back with those amendments for you to review.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the committee? Senator Rosenbaum.
Thanks, Madam Chair. This is maybe a little beyond the scope of this bill, but I think, Darren, you might have had a heads up from Kate Richardson about this question. A constituent of mine who's a professor at Portland State had raised some questions about whether it would be possible for the state to direct more of these funds, short-term or actually other funds, into Oregon chartered lending institutions as a way of helping stimulate the Oregon economy. And then obviously her idea was a little bigger than that. It was like, and then have some strings attached that would say, keep these funds in Oregon and use them to help Oregon small businesses and things like that. So I gather from Kate's response that this opens a huge can of worms and is not as easy as it might have seemed as just a great idea. But can you just comment on what makes it impossible to use some of these billions of dollars and keep them here in Oregon lending institutions and have them help get our economy back on track?
Madam Chair, Senator Rosenbaum, actually we do put money in Oregon banks through the Oregon Short-Term Fund. Currently there's a little over $200 billion in Oregon banks through a 2CD program we operate, and banks come to us and request the funds and we provide it. So we are, through the Short-Term Fund, supporting local banks. And we also, of course, do business on the operations side. I have a number of accounts with local banks, as do, of course, most of the municipal governments are being supported by the local banking community. We have the Oregon Growth Account that that the legislature created. So there are a number of ways that the treasurer's office is working money in Oregon, but frankly, Oregon, it's not a huge market, but we are a huge investment fund, and it's our duty to manage these funds from a fiduciary perspective and with the standard of care that's established by you in statute, which is the standard expert rule. And we have to diversify these monies, and we have to diversify them broadly to do the best job we can for the funds under our management. And so we do. So, and it's tough to balance to make sure that we're working these funds effectively, and we're also providing support to the local banking community. And I think we are. I think we do that through the Oregon Short Term Fund and the TCD program. There are other programs, there are other models in other states, and there are directed deposit kinds of programs and things like that that tend to have a lesser return. That would be outside of our purview under our investment standards, but it's a program that potentially could be managed through economic development or something like that for a specific economic development focus, where the legislature sets aside a certain portion of monies and expects to have a less than market return. But we don't have a program like that. We have the TCD program, and it's $200 million worth of popular. So I think that the local bankers do take advantage of that. So,
tell me what TCD.
Oh, sorry, time certificates of deposit. It's a time deposits in the institutions. I have a 3 pages of prepared testimony. If you want me to go through the specific parts of the bill and address the changes specifically.
I think for now, since we'll be revisiting it, I think we would like to take a comprehensive view of it after you bring the amendments back so that we can see them all together in one place.
Okay.
But in the meanwhile, if you could submit your testimony for the committee staff, that would be great if you have something.
I did.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morris.
With respect to the reference to, please, if I may, Section 15, Sections 28 and 59, changing the reporting requirements from quarterly to essentially GAAP standards, and then the reporting from monthly for PERS and Accident Industrial Fund. Could you explain why we're taking the date-specific reporting and what this means?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, excuse me. We're simply the language now is just, it's very non-inclusive. It refers to a couple source types of information that's reported. We report to PERS, to our various investment customers, and to our investment staff a whole plethora of information, and so we're simply saying here that we'll report, and we report on a monthly basis. We do a lot of daily reporting as well. We're simply saying that we'll report as per generally accepted accounting principles, which is your general business standard of financial reporting, and not trying to define it in statute when so little of what's actually done is defined in statute anyway. So we're just trying to make it a little more sensible.
I guess what was behind my question, Madam Chair, was does it in any way influence risk in management of these funds by changing this?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, no, absolutely not. In fact, if we were to report per the statute, that would probably definitely impact risk in a negative way. But no, we don't plan on having any changes in our reporting regime happen as a result of this. We just wanted to kind of harmonize the language with reality. So,
okay. Well, thank you very much.
So to follow that for a second, would the net effect then be to have more frequent reporting or just more comprehensive reporting?
The net effect is just to eliminate statutory language that doesn't make any sense. There'll be no business change relative to this. It just makes sense to to, rather than try to define every report we do mm-hmm. produce, and we were, and of course that changes over time as different kinds of assets come into the mix and different managers come and go. Instead, we just wanted to refer to an industry standard, which is GAAP. And we follow GAAP now, and so that seemed to be the appropriate, you know, the appropriate yardstick to measure our ourselves in this capacity against.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Thank you. No one else has signed up. Anybody else want to talk? Okay, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 62 and open. Who's coming now? Dr. Warner is back. We should have taken these in reverse order. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 27.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 27 is a reincarnation with a modification of Senate Bill 817 from the 07 session. It's the same concept, and what it does is it takes the way statute is currently written now. If you look on in section one of the bill, it just says, except as otherwise provided by law, all interest received on deposits of state funds shall accrue to and become a part of the general fund. And what this bill does is strike general fund and substitute the Oregon Rainy Day Fund established in 293-144, which is the 2007 Rainy Day Fund. It also does eliminate the need to have the Department of Administrative Services calculate the amount of general fund interest that would be associated with a rainy day fund. You passed House Bill 2707 in 07, the rainy day fund was set up within the general fund so that the Treasury and Darren Bond's unit could use the fund balances for cash management purposes. But the legislature also wanted to keep the interest distinct from the general fund that was in the on the rainy day fund balances so it would build up in the rainy day fund. So that was the reason for that. If all interest earnings are to that otherwise are not provided by law will flow into the rainy day fund, there's no need for that calculation done by DAS. So it would all be going into the rainy day fund. The change in this bill versus Senate Bill 817 from last session is that it does modify the 1% ending balance calculation. As you recall, the Rainy Day Fund receives up to 1% of general fund appropriations in the prior biennium. If it's in the rainy day fund. So if it's more than 1%, it receives up to 1%. If it's something less, it receives up to that amount. What this does is take that calculation and subtract the interest earnings from it. It could make a difference in the amount of revenue going to the fund. For example, in this current biennium where we have a zero ending balance, a negative ending balance, you would still make an interest earnings allocation under this bill. But in most biennia, assuming we have a greater than 1% ending balance, it would be that 1% minus your interest earnings. So it would result in the same amount. So it would make it more certain that there would be a deposit, but it wouldn't affect the total amount of deposit in most biennia. The bill does not become effective until the July 1, 2011 biennium. So therefore, it would not have biennium beginning July 1, 2011. So doesn't have an effect on revenue in this biennium. But it would, however, reduce general fund revenue in the 11-13 biennium by the amount of the interest earnings projection. One of the things I did, if you look on the back of your staff measure summary, I went back historically and looked at the pattern for interest earnings, which is one of the things that had caught our interest in the past, is that there are some anomalies, and particularly in the mid-90s. But in most biennia, you notice when we get a negative on the forecast, such as 81-83 or 01-03 or 03-05, you have the smallest interest earnings. And in those biennia where we have a big excess revenue, such as 95-97, for example, and an 05-07, you get more interest earnings. And that makes sense if you think about it, because what's happening when revenue is exceeding expectations, it's piling up the Treasury because they've got a stronger flow of revenue coming in and being transferred from the Department of Revenue. So you get higher interest earnings during those periods. So the concept behind the allocation rainy day fund is during those good periods when we receive more revenue than expected, there would be this flow into the fund, and then the stabilizing effect during periods where balances are lower because revenue is coming in shorter, you'd have less going in the rainy day fund. So it has that stability effect. The other thing I might add, too, is that during the periods where we have those big forecast gaps, of course, those are also the periods where we are have a 2% surplus kicker refund going out. The interest earning calculation under current law as part of the rainy day fund is part of that 2% surplus kicker calculation. Mm-hmm. So this would change that by pulling it out of the rainy day fund, or pulling it out of the general fund and putting it directly in the rainy day fund. Therefore, it would not be part of the close of session estimate and not part of that calculation.
So the net effect of all this would be to stabilize things.
Madam Chair, it would have kind of a counter-cyclical element to it. You'd be putting more dollars in the rainy day fund when we get more money than expected and less when we get less than expected. One other thing I might add is, and those of you on the task force may recall, this was one of the potential revenue sources recommended for consideration by the Comprehensive Revenue Restructuring Task Force.
Correct.
For the rainy day fund.
Okay. Good explanation. Any questions from the committee? I don't see anybody signed up. Did anybody want to talk about this? Oh, come on. We have all these shiny faces out there. All right.
Madam Chair, I did ask Darren Bond to talk about what kind of impact this might have on the Treasury.
Okay. Great.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, I'm Darren Bond, the Director of Finance for the Oregon State Treasurer. I've worked with Paul on this issue for years, as long as we've been talking about the rainy day fund, I think, and the Treasurer continues to support this. It does provide a stable source of revenue into the rainy day fund. It provides revenue into the rainy day fund when there would otherwise be no ending balance and no revenue during that period. So we think it's a positive, from that perspective, it's a positive source of growth. As Paul indicated, currently with general fund flowing or with interest flowing to the general fund, it's very pro-cyclical. And so what happens is we're enjoying greater interest earnings, we're giving it away in the kicker. You can argue whether that's good or whether that's bad, but it's not benefiting the general fund in any way generally. Whereas this would direct that into the rainy day fund, we'd grow the rainy day fund, which of course we recognize is a source of stability for state budgets and your budgetary decisions over the long haul. So we believe it's a good move and continue to support it.
Thank you very much. Questions? Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is a way to reduce the kicker by putting it into another fund prior to the calculation of the kicker.
Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, it would reduce the kicker during that period of time. Yes. But it also does, all of the time, reduce the revenues that are flowing to the general fund and directs them to the rainy day fund instead. So, again, we don't really look at it as, well, from our perspective, it's just a positive to have a steady flow of income into the rainy day fund to provide steady growth to that vehicle.
Other questions? Okay, thank you. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 27. And any other business before the committee? We are adjourned.
How do we get off so easy?